on the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
So what is going on in South Park?
Well, it's a beautiful day.
I know, girl, we live in paradise, don't we?
We do.
Sorry, all you people that don't have California weather, but we pay for it, though, don't we?
Yeah. Yes, we do. We do, but I get to wear no sleeves today, which feels
right.
Really nice.
I get to wear a funky hat and go outside. I'm going to go out to the beach and just kind of go. After I come back from being on the Edge, the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Brains, we got a winner in the house. Oh, yes. That is Amanda Cogan, in case you didn't know. She does so many things. And I'm going to question her. You know? And I told her, don't get crunchy. But I'm going to ask her some deep questions that I don't understand and I want to know. I want to know what's rattling around in her brain. We're going to talk. She's a podcaster. She's a hell of a musician. And in addition to that, she's a coach. I want to know what makes her think that she can do all of that and do it and do it right. Let's start with your story. How you doing, Amanda?
Doing so great. Thank you, April, for having me.
I'm glad to have you, girl. I'm so glad that we're both here in San Diego. We have to get together. There's some great little restaurants over there in North Park. Great little Italian spot. Now we can get out.
Yes. Yes, we should definitely do that. I would love
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. All right. So start with your story. Tell my brains who you really are.
Who I really am. All right. Well, I started out as a shy little girl in San Diego. I have two older sisters. And I always was kind of the follower, and it's been a journey to really find my own place. And so I would say that the most important parts of my journey are becoming an open mic host when I was in my 20s and doing that for about 6 years. That really helped my network in San Diego of musicians and opened up all these opportunities for me to host six other open mics in San Diego.
Where did you do open mics at? Have you ever done it at the Queen Bee, or what was that other place right there in North Park on 30th I used to go to?
I did the office in North Park. Mm. I had an open mic there for a minute. Queen Bee's I have played at, but never hosted an open mic there. I did host one at South Park Abbey, which is now Fernside. Yep. That was where it was many, many years of hosting there. And then a few other places that shut down that are no longer with us.
I know what's up with the poets. You know, we don't have nowhere to get down no more, and you know, live music.
I know. And now open mic scene, it's kind of tricky with sharing a mic, you know, so we've been doing a virtual open mic here and there throughout COVID that a friend of mine has run. So
are you doing some stuff down in Ocean Beach?
In Ocean Beach. I actually and never hosted anything in Ocean Beach, even though I lived there for
OB and
7 years.
Yeah, Escondido, they're fearless. They don't, you know, they're metaphysical. They don't give a damn about nothing. They will come out and fight the evil.
Yes,
okay, so I'm sorry. Continue with your journey. So you did some open mics and what else?
Yeah, so this was all after college, but college for me was just a stepping stone because I was a communications major, which meant very little. Ran my open mic. And then I went to a self-development training course that I did all of the levels. It's kind of like Landmark, if you've heard of that. Mm-hmm. But went through the entire program, which is about 3 months in total, and really started transforming my life in terms of the way I thought. I became more open-minded. I grew up super religious, so church was always in my life, but as I grew and expanded my mind.
Absolutely.
I became a little more spiritual. Yeah.
You know, and
a little less confined.
Things I tell the brains every time, you know, religion is a set of guidelines, it's your GPS, but the ultimate goal is spirituality. And it's okay.
Yes. Yes.
Because you could have been, your life turned out a whole different way if you had not had some sort of discipline and some sort of structure. It might have been, absolutely, you know, overkill, but you had a foundation. And so thank your parents for the foundation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. I appreciate it so much. And just a lot of my younger life was spent doing church things. And I was actually homeschooled. So that's an interesting fact about me, from third through ninth grade. So I went into Mira Mesa High School in the 10th grade. And so a lot of people thought I had just moved in from out of town and was this new girl. And I'm like, no, just been down the street in my home.
Wow. Well, I'm loving those ear bobs, girl. You're doing it to me with them earrings. Yeah. Yes.
I wore these just for you.
Well, thank you. I thank you. Now, you know what? You grew up in a very structured upbringing, but now you wild as a buck. And that's okay.
Yes.
Let's start with this right here. These two. Pepe Le Pew and his woman. Did you ever know his girlfriend's name? I never knew his girlfriend's name.
No.
Never had a name. Can you believe that they are trying to remove them from Looney Tunes and saying that he was sexually assaulting her and he was aggressive? He is the sexiest skunk on the planet.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
He's just French. That's just...
I love it. I love it. And, you know, she couldn't stand his smell, but she was so shocked. Look at her. God bless her heart. I love this. This makes me so happy. Reminds me of my husband. And you know what? Do you remember the Addams Family? They never complained about the husband kissing up Morticia's arm.
It's true.
World is overly sensitive about every damn thing. You can't say nothing. You can't joke about anything. You can't say anything about gays. You can't say anything about Black people. You can't say anything about white people. You can't say anything about, you know, vegans. What is up with that?
I think that it's a lot of people not taking responsibility for their own lives and their own experiences. And so we are so sensitive to how everyone else is doing things that we can't take ownership for our own lives. And that if someone says something that may be offensive to us, maybe we get to ask, well, why does that offend me? Or what is it about that statement that offends me? And what is their actual intention, instead of taking it as this affront and this thing that, you know, 100 years ago wasn't offensive to say, right? So I that's what I think, is that there's this overly, it's kind of like parenting now, right? Like everything is so over the top. Like we're so worried. And I'm like, I remember running around outside for hours. My parents didn't know where I was, but I'm fine. So yeah. I don't.
And the thing is, your kids will call the police on you. What kind of crap is that? The reason why I ask you about that is that I listen to your podcast.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's a little generational gap there between me and you, you know, but there was something that I didn't really wasn't understanding about the message, because you had a couple co-hosts, but within that, you guys had some very spirited conversations. You talked about a variety of things, and I appreciate that. What is the focus? And when people tune into your podcast, what are you looking for them to receive? What are you pouring into them?
It's a great question. So you listened to the first episode of Moon Wives, I take it.
Yeah, Moon Wives. And they talked about something else that was a little concerning to me. I'll tell you in a minute.
So it's funny, that episode actually was us just talking, and I decided to record it because we were just having a conversation that started getting a little interesting. And so I basically just chopped together some of what we talked about during that time. And because I was like, we have covered so many topics and just the three of us having a conversation. And I think it's really interesting stuff. So let's share.
It was very eye-opening. And I'm not, you know, I'm not judging. I'm just trying to be, you know, be clear. So do I know if I should, you know, cocktail when I'm sitting there listening to you guys, or should I be, you know, sitting up at attention? Because the ladies brought up something that was very interesting about breastfeeding other people's children.
Yeah.
I had to pump my brakes on that. Okay. I was, you know, I was like, ooh. Okay. And I have a family member. I don't want to, you know, I have a family member that did that. But I was like, wow. And again, it is, you know, the norm, and it's very comfortable. So I appreciate what you're doing, because it was very spirited. You talked about transgender. You talked about, you know, race relations. You put it all in that. And so there was a perfect, perfect title, Moonwives. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. The breastfeeding thing was totally new to me too, which is why I was like, are you ladies okay if I share this? Because this is something I've never heard of. And I imagine there's many women out there who don't even know that that's an option or that that's even possible to have sympathetic lactation, which is another thing.
Well, I don't know. You didn't study history, honey, because Black women was the mammy for white women. You know,
that's right.
That's what we did, is we were just big old lactating titties.
And you're right. Wet nurses. Yeah. Was a
wet
thing,
nurses,
I guess.
Absolutely. And we were nurturing. And so now we are so hated as a culture, but they don't seem to remember and acknowledge what we did for humanity.
Oh yeah. I mean,
crazy.
Literally our whole country, unfortunately, yeah, exactly. Built on those backs.
Exactly. Okay. So now we've got through that. Okay. So now you did the initial show. So now the show has progressed, the podcast. Tell me what your focus is now.
I would say, if I could just say it in a nutshell, is applying ancient wisdom to modern day living. So one of my co-hosts, Sierra, is an herbologist. She creates all her own infusions. She makes CBD lotions. She makes her own facial creams. Like, that's her jam, is making her own things, because she doesn't love all of the products that are out there. And so she makes them all natural. And then Allie is my other co-host, and she is trained as a journalist. She loves researching, loves science, is a creative writer. So she adds in this, you know, talking to the experts, what do they think about a topic? And then I'm the mindfulness coach, who sort of takes in all of the things that we're talking about and applies them to the big picture. That's what I would say is, when you listen to Moonwives, it's really three women's journey. We're talking about our lives, our experience, and it happens to relate to a lot of people, I think. And so, So the idea is that you get to hear a little bit of conversation that maybe you don't hear often, or maybe your friends don't talk about, but you're interested in, and you wish people would talk about. And so there isn't really a total structure as yet, but we are working towards doing
the abstract, because I host a variety show. And that is what's going to, you know, can sustain you. I mean, you can only talk to people about nutrition for 6 months. And then after that, you've covered every supplement and everything else. You know, entrepreneurs, it's great. But, you know, what is their niche? So I get that. I'm not trying to give you a hard time as an experienced podcaster of 15 years. But again, I want people to tune in. I want them to really gravitate to your message. And if it's freestyle, I respect that.
Yeah, I would just say it's mostly geared toward women. So men, beware. You'll hear things that women,
you know,
maybe
don't. They want to tune in because they want to know what's going on. I don't know if they got the message, but we're taking over the planet. There's no more of this going on.
Do you know my spiritual vision for the world?
What is it?
It's that through women leadership, we heal our planet.
Well, we will, because we are in the age of Pisces now. We move from
Yes.
We move from Aquarius.
Yes.
And it's a much gentler, kinder vortex. Mm-hmm. But you know what, Amanda? If women don't change, it's still going to be a problem. Because I see some of these women that are straight up hellions.
Yeah.
They are. I mean, you know what? They still have the racism. They still have the sexism. They still have the classism. When I worked in corporate America, I was pushed up on and disrespected and cheated by more women than men. Yes, I said it.
I believe it.
See, I'll call them out on it. I sure will. But you know, it's like black on black crime, woman on woman. You know, oh, you can't say sexual assault, or you can't say that you were, you know, it was because you were a woman, because it's a woman. But we need to get it together too, okay? We're not crabs in a barrel. We really need to lift one another up and support one another. We're not one-legged stools. And
so
young
true.
People like you and young millennial women like you are the future. And so, you know, you really have to stay out there. You have to be visual. You have to be strong. You have to be courageous and still have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
Yeah. And play some good ass music. And that's what you do. baby, let me tell you. Now, I listen to that too, okay? Tell me about your music.
Oh, my music has been, you know, writing songs for me when I was young. I used to just open my mouth and sing, and words would come out and melodies would come out. And so when I finally learned guitar and started figuring out how to create music around the melody and words and stuff, it really is this cathartic thing for me. It's very much my diary. So almost every song I've written has a personal story behind it. Some are friends' stories or things that I just created out of my mind. But for the most part, they're things that I relate to other people. And it's kind of contemporary folk is what I call it when I'm playing live. My album, I went a little bit of a different direction because I had a producer who wanted to get a little weird on it and add in a lot of instrumentation. So the song I sent you is pretty close to how I play it live, but the other songs that I've put out have a little more pizzazz to them, which I really like.
I thought it was absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about the song, Brains. We're going to play it for you.
Yay. So Little Things is a song I wrote about, I would say 5 years ago, 6 years ago. And sort of around a man I was dating who was very sweet to me and always wanted to cook me dinner and take me out and treat me like a queen and just would always have these little things that he would do and sort of wore me down over time.
and you ended up dumping him?
We did not stay together, but this song is now one that when I play it, you know, it sort of carries over into all of my relationships with men, like my friendships, all the things that it's a little bit more of a big picture now, but.
All right. Yeah. Well, Brains, we are about to enjoy Little Things by Amanda Cogan. Stay here, close, on the edge. We'll be right back.
Watching me, and when I catch your eye, I forget how to breathe. 'Cause the look you give me is so intense, like I'm some kind of goddess. Yeah, something about you got me tripping up, keeps me waking up in the middle of the night. Face in my dreams, and it's the little things, the little things you do, got me so wrapped up in you. Little things you do, little things you do. The way you smile and give me a wink, like you've got a secret you're keeping. The way you touch me, oh, so softly. The way you twirl my hair in your fingertips, absent-mindedly. And you know I love it when you call me those pet names. And every day you surprise me with something new. I guess it's no surprise I've fallen in love with you and the little things you do.
Amanda, that was sexy. That was sultry. That was amazing. Hmm. I love that. That's going to be a hit. You know, but the music industry, I just had one of my friends on the show here. He's a music publisher. I'm going to hook you guys up.
Thank you.
He's written for The Whispers and, you know, Billy Preston. Oh, yes, he's big time. That's amazing. The music industry is so challenging right now to get a record deal, to get out there. What are you doing to really promote your music? I mean, you know, if you're serious about this, what are you doing? You got to go full throttle.
I do. And I want to say that COVID has prevented me a little bit in that, and also getting my coaching business up and running. So the recording process has been running in the background of all these other things. And so now you're right. It's time to be like, all right, so who wants to hear my stuff? So being on here is one of the ways. I plan on using a playlist eventually, releasing it to my friends on social media. Mm-hmm. And the idea is when we can have a little bit more of a gathering to actually have a release party where we can gather and people can listen and hear the live version and then get the new one.
Do you play with a band, or are you mostly acoustic or solo?
Right now I usually play with either my significant other, who also plays guitar and sings, or Kimo Shim, who plays cajon. And he's in San Diego. He's been playing around these parts for many, many years. He's amazing. So,
well, that's good. That's good. I'm looking forward to that. I really am, because the music is really amazing. You got a beautiful voice and a lot of talent. I play the guitar. Girl, don't ask me to play for you. It's hard, you know, muscle memory, remembering your chords, you're strumming, you're singing, then you're patting your foot at the same time and trying to make it sound like the record. Girl, it's no joke. So I commend you. It's really good. But I started playing because I wanted to stimulate my mind. I wanted to stimulate my brain. I didn't want it to get old and crusty. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, let me try something new. And I have bought this great guitar I found at a yard sale for $5. And it is beautiful, case and all.
What?
I said, let me do this. I've got I got drums here. I got flutes, all kinds of stuff. I could have my own band. So now you are also coaching.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question. How old are you?
33.
That's a baby. What makes you the subject matter expert on anything that you can coach somebody else? Say a woman, 50.
It's a great question. And I think that and through that, my coaching trainings and everything, it's constantly, you know, as long as you're only, even if you're only 6 inches in front of the person you're guiding, you can still guide them. So it's really like, I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to have all the answers, but I do have to have an open mind and be willing to put in the work on myself and really tap into my intuition so that I'm listening to the person as their soul is speaking and not the person speaking. So you may be 50, you may be 60, you may be 20, but your soul and I can still speak on a different plane than our minds can, I believe. So honestly, my favorite group of women to work with is women over 45, because there's a wisdom there, there's a maturity there, there's so much knowledge, but there's a little bit of this being held back. And so that's why I love working with recently divorced women, is because I am divorced. And so that's part of how I have something to talk about. And I've did a lot of work to get myself out of the grief feelings and all of the crazy emotions and the second guessing and the guilt and all of that crap that comes with it. And I, working with divorced women or women going through a breakup, there's this moment where you're really in your, you know, your darkest place.
Yeah, and you're vulnerable. You're butt naked.
You're butt naked. Yeah. Everything's burned down around you. But the beauty of that is that you now get to rebuild the way you want to. Finally, you can look at yourself and say, is this the woman I want to be? Have I been the woman I want to be for this amount of time? No? Yes? Okay. Well, this is what I do want to be. And now I'm going to take action to make that happen without anyone telling me I can't, or telling me that they want me to stay the same, or that that's not working for them. So
I appreciate your honesty and your candor, because, you know, there's a lot of people that like to use that big $25 word that they're a coach. And baby, you can't coach if you're a trainee. So I like the fact that you are open to your clients to accept their wisdom.
Oh, yeah.
To walk with them and hold their hand, you know, through their soul journey. I had one young woman that, you know, wanted to be on my show. She was a relationship coach. Well, I've been married to Mr. Magnificent for 36 years. Okay, just me and him. And, you know, I was like, okay, I wanted to be open-minded. I said, now what in the world could she teach me? Girl, she taught me about catfishing, online dating, why people take pictures of their junk and send them to one another. You know, what the culture was. Because again, heaven forbid that I'm out there, I wouldn't even know where to begin. You know, I'd still be putting on my lipstick and my little short skirt and try to go and bat my eyes, but that's not what's happening no more. So again, you can learn, brains, and that's why I asked her that question. You can learn from someone younger than you. You can also absorb the wisdom from someone older than you. You don't have to be pigeonholed and just coach with somebody that, oh, okay, well, 50-year-old. You know, no, you wanna know what is up and coming and what's trending, what the music scene is like, what's up on with the moon wives. All of that stuff. And this is where you can find it, right here with Amanda Cohen. So thank you so much, baby, for being here on The Edge. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you.
Yes. So you can find my website at amplifyyourself.life. That's two Y's. That's my coaching business. You can email me, amanda@amplifyyourself.life. Or if you're interested in a relationship recovery group, look up Reignite on Eventbrite, or if you want to tap into your intuition and meet up with some other ladies who are rocking and ready to let out their wild side, you can look up Wildish Women on Eventbrite. And those are monthly meetings that I host as well.
And I'm going to put all the links down there, and I'm going to put her website at the end of this. Brains, go and check it out. You don't know what you don't know, okay? And we don't know everything. That's my next book, 365 Days. I have been documenting what I learned new and how it applies to my life, good, bad, or indifferent, for 365 days.
Wow.
You know, and because you do. Just really kind of sit back and think about that. And I love you. I love exploring your music. We want to hear more about it. When the EP, is the EP complete?
Not yet, but it okay. should when be done by the end of this month.
What does EP mean?
Extended play.
Oh, now I have to write that down. This is my next thing that I've learned what EP means. Yeah. So I am so proud of you. I really, really am. And we're going to get together and talk whenever we get an opportunity and can come up for air right here on The Edge.
Woo!
Okay. And we are the place where the conversation is pointed. The guests are sharp. The responses are never dull. And we share, we like, we follow. All right. Talk to you again real soon. I love you, Amanda.
Love you. Thank you.
Bye, brains.